Good morning. It's a little different this morning, but, you know, we just want to keep you guys on your toes. Well, actually, the real reason I'm up here first is that we have two members out at the Blue River Valley campus this morning that are receiving their local minister's license, and so we flopped the order so I could preach and then jump in the car and drive out there and present them with their licenses at the end of their service this morning. So I'm preaching early, and so everybody that comes in halfway through worship this morning is going to come in halfway through the message, and they're going to think that they're a half hour off, and it's going to be really fun. So I say make sure you're just watching reactions as people come in and enjoy like a little Father's Day gift for you guys. Anyway, I am so glad you guys are here. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to all you fathers out there. It's a good day. So at this point, early in the service, I want to extend the opportunity to worship through giving. You can do that in the plate at the back of the room, and you can also do it at middletownnaz.com. We are looking for volunteers to serve on the worship team. This is probably going to be last call for a while. So if you play an instrument or you would be interested in serving in the tech department, whether it be media, sound, lights, or anything like that, we would love to have you. And just talk to Wendell, our worship leader, about that, and he will get you set up and going here. So appreciate those who have responded on that, and this will probably be the last call for that this morning. We also have an opportunity for you to serve here in the community. This is not really something through our church, it's just through the town. They are bringing the wall that heals the Vietnam Vet Memorial. The scaled one will be here in the park August 24th to 27th, and we are looking for volunteers to help be present there. They want somewhere between 8 and 10 people there just kind of at all times for any sort of job, be it security or just somebody available to point where the restrooms are, those kinds of things. So if you're interested in volunteering for that, you can either talk to Charlie Alcorn or you can message the Facebook page that is The Wall That Heals Middletown. One more item of business I think is on there. Yes, we are having a vacation Bible school, and that will be July 24th to 27th, each night at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that's for 4 years old through fifth grade. It's going to be games, crafts, activities, snacks. So the first thing, and all those things are going to be free. So the first thing I would ask you is if you have a child or a grandchild or niece or nephew or whoever in your life that has been bored so far this summer, send them to our VBS. It'll be 6 to 8 p.m. It's four nights in a row that, you know, if nothing else, if you're caring for a child, you could go shop for those 2 hours and come back. If you don't have anything to do for those 2 hours, we would love to have you volunteer for our VBS this year. And if you would like to do that, if you'd like to volunteer or be involved in any way, you can talk to Pastor Kirsten or you can talk to Jenny, who is our children's director. Either one of those would be great. Excited to have VBS back. A lot of these things that COVID kind of squashed are starting to come back into place, and it's exciting to see that. So we'll be promoting it around town and doing that. We've got about, 5 weeks or so until that happens. So if you would be interested at all in volunteering, please see Pastor Kirsten or Jennifer Murdick. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you for another week to gather, another week of life, another week to just glorify you. And as this little bit different format this morning happens, we just invite your Holy Spirit in right now to just give us wisdom, discernment as we go through your scripture, as we dive into your word, as we hopefully apply these things that we're learning to our lives. So we just thank you for everything you're doing within this church, within us as individuals, and we thank you for fathers this morning as well. God, we just, we are so grateful to be here. And those who couldn't be here this morning, we ask that you would be with them. They would feel your presence, that they would get the healing or whatever it is that they need this morning. God, we just love you and we praise you, and we just want your Holy Spirit to stay here in this room as we go through your scripture, as we move into worship, and as we go about our day. We just invite you in and we submit to you. Help us to apply whatever it is we're going to learn here today to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to finish up this series today. And it's the one we've been in Psalms this whole time. So it's been called Psalms for All Seasons, and we've been in the book of Psalms for the last few weeks, and we've learned that Psalms is in the poetic section of the Old Testament, and so it's not necessarily about history or about prophecy, but it was written by a lot of the same people that wrote that stuff. But we talked about how music and poetry and everything can be a powerful learning tool. And you use songs to learn things as a kid, whether it's the ABCs or what have you. There's all kinds of things that we learn through songs, and Scripture is no different, right? They use songs and poetry as something they could memorize and pass down rather than have to write everything. And so it's no different when it comes to learning truths about God. These poems, these songs are also very valuable as a learning tool. So we're going to finish up this week what we've been in for the last 4 or 5 weeks, but a quick recap before we do that. We were in Psalm 1 for week 1, and it was talking about the key to happiness, and basically it was saying not to stand in the way of sinners or walk with the wicked or sit with mockers, but to delight in God's word, to think on them deeply, and to think about them often. So the key to happiness is not to do things that are against the will of God, but dive in to God's word, think about them deeply, and think about them often. And we talked about Psalm 23 the next week, and we saw it was broken into 4 sections, and David paints this picture of the sheep and the shepherd, and this relationship that we have with God, and how God is this this person, this being that we depend on for not only comfort, but direction and guidance and discipline when needed. And then he moves to painting the picture of God being this gracious host and us as this guest at his table that he sets for us, and even in front of our enemies. And then he moves to the anointing, where he anoints our head with oil, even if we've messed up. And then the 4th one was that he gives us this overflowing cup, this still at the guest at the table, this cup never runs empty. And then week 3, we were in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we talked about Asaph. He was this guy who played cymbals in this parade for the Ark of the Covenant, and he ends up, generations later, as the Ark is coming back into Jerusalem out of exile from Babylon, all of his descendants, there's like 140 some descendants that come back out of Asaph's lineage. And we talked about the next generation and how important it is to pass the teaching of God on to them. And so the first thing that we talked about was our obligation to the next generation is to pass on our faith. If we don't do it, nobody will. The second thing is that if we teach God's deeds, they will put their trust in him. If we teach God's deeds, they will put their trust in him. And the third thing was that if we don't teach God's deeds, our tribe will crumble. And we talked about the tribe language coming from the tribe of Ephraim, which God did not choose because their ancestors did not pass on their faith, right? The people that the next generations had forgot what had happened in Egypt, and God chose the line of Judah instead. And then last week, we did a little bit different of a sermon, and it was called Why We Sing, and we were in Psalm 96, and I think I gave 23 reasons why we should sing, both from secular studies and then from Scripture, and I'm not going to go through all those again, but a summary of that is that we sing as a part of our worship to every aspect of our Creator. We sing as a part of our worship, right? Not that singing is our worship, but it's a part of our worship, and it's in response to every aspect of God. God is good, and He is loving, and He's merciful, and He's just, and He's everything that we need or want or could ever need or could ever want. And that is a reason that we can't help but sing His praise. So, that gets us to today. Psalm 90, we're going backward, six psalms, and this is called the Psalm of Moses. And we'll read that together here in a minute. But this psalm was most likely written by Moses near the end of his life. You guys heard of Moses before? Yeah, I know you're all out of sorts because you should be singing right now. I get it. But I'm just going to need you to listen anyway. And so Moses, his life really reads like a movie. And actually, there are several movies that have been made over time about Moses. It's that good. He was born into slavery, and then he was sent up the Nile by his mother because the Egyptian government or rulers at that time had told to, you know, kind of get rid of all the boys that were being born. And so they put him in this basket, and they send him up the Nile, and he's taken in by one of the Pharaoh's daughters or something along those lines. And then he's raised in the palace of the Pharaoh of Egypt, and he gets into trouble, so, you know, somewhere in there, and flees, and then God uses him as this buffer between Israel and Egypt to end up freeing these people, and he leads the Exodus from Egypt, and then he receives the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and there's all these things that Moses does. He watches over, he scolds sometimes, he encourages the people of Israel, and he is believed to have written the first five books of the Bible. Psalm 90 is believed to be written while Moses is wandering in the wilderness, and this would have been written kind of during the time that he was writing the book of Numbers. And so after all that he's observed and all that he's experienced, all these things, all he's seen of God and of people, whether they're rulers or slaves or free, or whether it's in an urban setting or a rural setting or in the desert, this is what he writes. This is the psalm. This is what he's trying to pass down for people to remember with this poetry or these songs. So here's what it says. And this is 17 verses, so follow along. If you have your Bible, that's awesome. You can read along with me, but it's going to be on the screen. It says, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or You brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.' 1,000 years in Your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by Your anger and terrified by Your indignation. You have set our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your presence. All our days pass away under Your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80, If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of Your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is Your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on Your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with Your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as You have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May Your deeds be shown to Your servants, Your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So you can kind of tell Moses is in the desert in this one. You know, that's a lot of stuff there, especially in the middle. But we're going to walk through this, and as usual, we're going to look at three truths that we can pull out of this passage or this psalm from Moses. And the first one is that God is great. God is great. And those are found in verses 1 and 2. And I'll reread them here in a minute, but they won't be on your screen. But Moses, he starts his psalm by proclaiming truth about God. And the first truth that he proclaims is that God is our refuge. And that's found in verse 1. He says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations." Moses has seen and experienced God being the safe place for Israel for generations. He's old at this point, right? He has seen God being this refuge, this safe place for Israel. And then the second truth that he pulls out of this is that Moses uses to proclaim the greatness of God is that God is the creator. Before the mountains were born or you brought forth the world, right? This is God, you were around before anything was created, before the world, before the mountains, or anything else. And then the third truth that Moses uses to show God's greatness is this: God is forever. And this is in verse 2. It says, "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So Moses is somebody who knows greatness, right? He knows, he's been there. He grew up as Egyptian royalty, right? His adopted grandfather was the Pharaoh, and he probably had palace staff waiting on him his entire life. He knew what greatness looked like, especially here in this earth. I don't know if you know, but Egypt was, there's stuff still standing, you know, in Egypt that was done back then. I mean, this was a powerhouse of a nation, and he was as, you know, not as high as it gets, but in the house of as high as it gets. He knows what greatness is. But after encountering God, he learns what greatness really was. So whether it be the burning bush, or whether it be the plagues of Egypt, or the Red Sea, or even Mount Sinai, he knows God's greatness, and he's putting that above anything that he's ever seen. So listen to this account of the greatness of God in Exodus. This is what Moses would have experienced firsthand, and kind of what he's after here. So Exodus 19, verses 16 through 19 says this: "On the third day, when morning came, there was a thunder and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud blast from the ram's horn, so that all the people in the camp shuddered. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord had came down on it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the sound of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder." Do you imagine a mountain shaking on fire with this giant? I've never seen anything like that before. Any of you? That's crazy, right? This is, God was showing Moses and the Israelites so much more great, powerful things than he ever would have seen in Egypt. So it's no wonder that Moses starts out this psalm by establishing the greatness of God. So that's the opening, the first two verses. So number two, the second thing that Moses is trying to get across in this psalm is that we are not great. God is great, and we are not great. And then he spends seven verses talking about that. But Moses, he focuses on our humanity for much longer than he does the greatness of God. And maybe he's trying to tell us something this morning. The first thing he tells us in verses 3 through 6 is that we are frail. He says, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.' 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered." As great and as powerful as God is, we are weak and powerless. This is not a bad thing. It's not a stab at you or me, but it is more that this demands that we have a dependence upon God, the one who is powerful, who is in control. We are like grass that is new in the morning and withered at night. That's what Moses is comparing us to. The second thing he says about us in our human situation, the first one was that we are frail. The second is that we are fallen. And that one he talks about in verses 7 and 8. And he says, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. We have all fallen short, right? We're not only frail and mortal, but we have fallen short of the glory of God. And even if others don't know it, right? He says something about those secret sins. God does. Remember when you were a kid and you stole that candy bar from the store, or you pushed your brother down and then denied it, or maybe you broke that vase and blamed it on the cat. Anybody? Does ring a bell for any of you? Yeah. Oh, okay. Some of us are better than others, I guess. But the point is that God saw those things, even if we didn't tell anybody, even if we didn't, if we never owned up to it, God saw all those things. The good news is he doesn't hold it against us. He knows we are fallen, and he still allows us to be in relationship with him. While God is powerful and righteous, we are fallen. The third example Moses gives to our human condition is that we are finite. So we are frail, fallen, and finite. Verses 9 and 10 say this: all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 or 80 years if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. We exist inside of time and space, right? There's a life expectancy on this earth. Actually, he's pretty close, right? I think it's somewhere around 80-ish in the U.S. He's right on it. We exist for 70 years, 80 if we're strong. You know, if you're some sort of superhuman, you know, you can live into the hundreds. But we are finite people. We exist inside of time and space. And the difference between us and God is that God set time and space into motion. There wasn't, you can't even really get your head around it, but there was nothing before just God. And God set this stuff into motion. So God is infinite. We are finite. So Moses does a good job of diagnosing our reality in this middle section. God is big and strong. We are small and weak. So that takes us to the last thing that Moses shows us about our condition. Moses shows us. I didn't mean to do that. I even typed that and didn't catch it. That's pretty funny. The last thing in this section, right, his answer for these problems, that we're frail, we're fallen, and we're finite, is that we need perspective. And we find those in verses 11 and 12. He says, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So because we are frail and fallen and finite, we need to number our days. We need to make sure that we do what we're supposed to be doing. We not take any of these days for granted, right? Scripture is spelling it out. We're not guaranteed anything. We're like the spring grass or the morning grass. This is a very real picture of what our life is like. So we need to number our days. The last truth that Moses displays in this is the third one. It's ask big things of God. So we're through verse 10 or through verse 12. So he spends the last five verses of this psalm basically asking God to help in this situation. So the first ask that we see from Moses, or the first ask of God, this big ask, is that he asks for compassion on us. Verse 13 says, relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. When you wrong someone, that can be a big deal, right? It can be a little deal. It can be no big deal. If you take somebody's parking spot, there's really not, you know, not anything. There's not a real consequence unless that person's crazy and you get your car keyed or something, but you know, there's most of the time there are things where we can wrong people and not a lot of stuff's going to happen. But you know, say you get in an argument with your friend, you know, the consequences of that is maybe your friend's mad at you for you know, a couple hours, a couple days, a couple weeks at most. Let's take this into the school setting. We'll go back to when we were kids. So we get in an argument with our friend, not a huge deal. You know, you're not getting detention or anything for arguing with someone. But let's say you got in a fight, an actual like altercation with that friend. Well, that's a little bit bigger of a deal, right? Then if it's serious enough, you're looking at a suspension or, you know, detention, Friday night school, whatever it is, at very least. Well, let's say you decided to fight that teacher. Then what happens? That's bad, right? That's the wrong move. We don't do that. And then let's take it one step further. Let's say the principal comes in, and then you try and fight the principal. You know, the consequences are growing greater and greater and greater. You're going to have a lot harder time seeking mercy if you just keep on wronging those who are coming in, if you keep fighting with everyone. And we can agree, right, that that's a big deal. If you fight a principal, you're expelled, and you're probably not getting in any other school anytime soon. If you were to do this, you would have to pay some sort of consequence. Maybe you would even find yourself in a courtroom, who knows, and you'd have to ask a judge for mercy, right? This is part of life, is getting, asking for mercy when we do wrong. And so this is Moses realizing that he hasn't just wronged a teacher or a principal or someone, you know, a colleague, but God, right? The creator of the universe should be a way bigger deal, right? I mean, we should have way, and that's what Moses is saying, all this, the fear, and if we knew your wrath, the fear of fighting someone or wronging someone here on earth, that would be a big deal. God, it would be much, much more than that. And so this is a very big ask. He's asking God for undeserved mercy. And the cool thing is that God has granted it, right? Now, in Moses' time, he still granted it. He granted second chances all the time, but he's granted it for us in the form of Jesus. So the second thing we see Moses ask for is the love and joy of God. So the first thing was compassion. The second thing is the love and joy of God. And this one comes from verse 14. It says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days." Lots of different words for love in the Bible, right? We know in the New Testament there's like three or four that are used, and it's no different in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word used here is hesed, and that means faithful or steadfast love. So he's asking for faithful, steadfast, continuing love. He could have prayed for new sandals or better food or a new chariot or so on and so forth. And those would have all been nice in the moment, but they wouldn't have had the same effect, right? We think about praying to God and asking for something big, you know, a Corvette or a house or a job. Those are big asks. But asking God to faithfully give us love every day, that's a pretty big ask. So really, if he were to have prayed for sandals or food or a chariot or so on, that's a small ask compared to asking the God of the universe for steadfast, for faithful love. And the third thing he asks for in this passage is in verse 15. It says, making up for the pain of the past. Making up for the pain of the past. Verse 15 says, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we've seen trouble." So, sounds very emo and very depressed in saying these things, but let's put some perspective on this. Everyone that was around at this point that he's writing at, all of Israel, they were either born into slavery or they were born into wandering. This is not a group of people that have seen many great days. They have been afflicted. They've been oppressed. They're not, he's not just being dramatic. Now the wandering, that's kind of their own doing. But anyway, he's asking for as many days rejoicing as they've been enslaved or as they've been wandering. That's kind of cool when you think about it that way. It's not, oh, God, you won't leave us alone. It's, we've been in a rough spot for a long time. Maybe you could give us that, you know, a long time of good days as well. And then Moses, there's a fourth thing that he asks of God in verse 16, and it says, let us see how you are at work. Let us see what you're doing, right? We're in this spot. Let us see what you're doing. May your deeds, in verse 16, it says, may your deeds be shown to your servants and your splendor to their children. Have you ever thought this season of life just really stinks? I just wish I didn't have to go through this. Or I wish I could see what God was up to in the midst of this season. I think Moses is saying the exact same thing here. God, reveal your work to us. It stinks to be going through what I'm going through right now. If I could only see what you're doing and how you're working, make it make sense. I think that's all Moses is saying in this. God, reveal your work to us is a big ask. And then the last thing he asks is in verse 17, the last of this psalm. And he asks to make something significant of his life or our lives, the life of Israel at this point. Verse 17 says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The work of our hands will only last eternally if we're inviting God into our work. Right? The work of our hands are only going to last eternally if we're inviting God into our work. If we're not seeking God and working on eternal things, our impact on this earth will be lessened. So, to close with, I'm going to ask three questions of you. The first one is, do you realize that God is powerful and strong and faithful and merciful? The second one is, have you submitted to the fact that you are none of these things and therefore have to depend on God? And then the third is, are you willing to ask big things of your Creator? God is powerful and faithful and willing, and all we have to do is submit and ask. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this group of psalms we've studied for the last 5 weeks. We thank you for this wisdom that has been passed down through generations. And this morning, as we move on into our service in this time of worship, we just thank you for what you're doing. God, it's so comforting to read something so relatable from so long ago. You've been the same God throughout time. God, help us to just submit to you and to your authority and realize how powerful you are. Help us to realize how little power and little control we actually have and depend on you for that. And God, help us to know that you are capable and you are willing and that we can ask big things of you. So as we move forward in this service, we just invite your Holy Spirit to just work in our hearts and our lives, and we just want to worship you as you deserve and glorify you with our lives. Be with us the rest of this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, normally we end service with a response. We're kind of going backward today, so we're going to play a response song now, and then we're going to celebrate what God's done not only in the Psalms, but in our lives as well. And so I invite you to stand and sing. Our altars are always open. If you came in late, I'm heading to Blue River Valley right now. I'm 3 minutes late to give a couple guys their local minister's license out there. So that's exciting stuff. Did miss one thing in announcements. As you leave, you will see some baked goods out there. Thank you, Leah Cooper, for doing that. Fathers, they're just for you. Sorry, moms. This is our day. Don't you dare take our cookies. Oh, hey, it's been great worshiping with you this morning. Have a great week. We'll see you, or I will see you guys next week.